Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
My Jeremy is coming to visit this weekend. Maddie whispered to me one night while we were out for a friend's birthday. You're what? I asked.
These are some of the opening lines to Jordana Naren's essay on modern love.
I thought I had misheard her. My Jeremy, she repeated. I've told you about him. His name's Will. He's visiting from school. My Jeremy.
Jordana's a sophomore at Columbia University. She got good grades in high school, made a lot of friends. But love, well, it's complicated.
And just like that, a name, one I refer to often, became an archetype, a trope, an all-purpose noun used by my collegiate friend group to talk about that guy. The one who remains for us in some netherworld between friend and boyfriend, often for years. Never gonna fall for modern love.
He walks beside me. Jordana is the winner of this year's New York Times Modern Love College Essay Contest, and her thoughts on what it means to love, or even just date, in the modern age, reveal that as relationships go digital, they've also become a lot harder to define.
For my generation, a Jeremy is someone we never really were able to call our own. So it's this phenomenon, I think, is the result of not being able to label people. Our generation doesn't really label relationships anymore. We have these casual commitments, rudimentary romances, but we can't call someone our own. We don't call someone our boyfriend. You start to wonder how you're feeling. You don't know if your feelings are legitimate. You wonder how this other person's feeling. You can't really tell them how you're feeling because you don't know if your own feelings are warranted. And so there's a lot of unknowns that you're not really able to answer.
So what's behind this? What causes this? Is there social pressure to not call somebody your boyfriend? I mean, is there pressure for him not to say girlfriend? I mean, I guess everybody gets tepid about relationships sometimes, but this seems like kind of a broader thing.
Well, I think that in part it can be due to hookup culture. My friends and I, we go to college, we hang out with guys. A lot of guys are our best friends. There's a very casual, like, oh, let's make out at a bar. Let's do this. Let's do that. And nothing is serious. But I think that once you want something to be more serious, that requires vulnerability. And especially with me and my friends, a lot of us are perfectionists. We strive to do the best in everything we can. And emotions are an area in our lives where we don't have control. And that's scary. And telling someone how you feel is putting the ball in their court, and I think a lot of us are afraid to do that because we're afraid of the rejection that might accompany it.
Okay, but none of this is anything new. I mean, people forever have had a hard time maybe looking somebody in the eye and telling them how they feel. But I think what you're saying is there's something about now that lets people off the hook where you don't have to do that. You can live in your fear. So what is that thing?
Technology.
Uh-huh.
Technology, I think, has obscured all of these lines for us. I can text someone instead of calling them on the phone. I can swipe right instead of being set up on a date. So I think that in some other time, and I'm no expert in talking about some other time, but they had to do certain things. You had to talk to someone about your feelings. Here we have – everyone in college uses Tinder. You can literally swipe right and find someone just to hang out with for the night. There's no commitments required, and I think that makes committing to someone even harder because it's so normal and so expected even to not want to commit.
But also the flip side of that is maybe even more powerful, which is the finality of saying goodbye is never really there. If you say goodbye to somebody and walk away and they move to Morocco, they can still text you. They can still hit you up on Facebook. You can still get messaged on Twitter. That finality and the commitment to finality is sort of washed away.
Yeah, I think it's twofold because you have the finality that never accompanies a relationship that's embedded in technology, but you also have a finality that never accompanies the relationship because it was never a relationship to begin with. In my case, I'm 3.5 years out right now, almost 4 years, and I'm still thinking about someone because I never got my closure. I never had the we're breaking up. And because we don't have something concrete, we build up people in our minds. So I don't even know if the person that I've been infatuated with for the past 4 years, I don't even know if he exists or if he's a construct that I've created because I've been able to make him into everything I need him to be because he hasn't actually been something for me in a tangible way. He hasn't been my boyfriend.
This is the first time I've ever heard of a catfish who's actually a real person.
Yeah. That's what's so scary. we look at all the positives in this like potential significant other and we ignore all the negatives and we say, well, he didn't actually do something wrong. If someone stands you up on a date, well, it's like he doesn't have any obligation to me because he's not my boyfriend. But if he were my boyfriend, he wouldn't be doing that. And so we make excuses for people. And that allows us to perpetuate this fantasy of them.
But one of the other key questions here, Jordana, is whether you're really missing out. I mean, the ability to not spend a lot of time with one guy if you don't want to be able to move on, to have the selection and the pick of the litter could be really empowering for a young woman. On the other hand, I get the sense from you that you feel like you and your friends are missing out on something.
I guess it's you always want what you don't have. So in a different time, I think my grandparents, my great-grandparents, they might have said that they were missing out on casual sex and they wanted that. But I think since my friends and I have been saddled down with that, we kind of look to the past and say, well, wasn't that nice? And I think that both are optimal. Women today, I mean, I'm a huge feminist. I think that women should be able to do whatever we want to do. If a woman wants to be having tons of casual sex, she totally should. But I think that there should be the option, and this shouldn't be gendered, women and men. There should be the option of being in a relationship, of committing yourself to someone. And I think that right now, not that it doesn't exist, but it's definitely not the rule. It's the exception to the rule.
Well, do you think that you're happy with it this way? Do you feel empowered? I mean, you sound like somebody who is comfortable to an extent in the culture that you live in. You know how to operate in it. It's got its advantages, for sure. It's pretty clear that you want something more, and it's too hard to ask for it.
I think that's a spot-on analysis. Yeah, for my friends and I, we want something more. We don't know how to ask for it. But I think it's a learning process. I'm a sophomore in college right now, so I tell myself I have 2 more years of college and then an infinite amount of time after that to figure things out. It's just hard, I think, because we all know my generation. We know what to do with our brains. We live in a super connected world. People in college, they're creating apps. They're winning awards. They're finding cures to obscure diseases. And we can do all of that, but it's the very basic that we've forgotten. And maybe now I'll just try to be a little more open with myself. I think that writing the piece allowed me to, for the first time, take ownership of how I was feeling because I wasn't doing that.
Jordana Naron is the winner of this year's New York Times Modern Love College Essay Contest on the fleeting nature of modern relationships in the smartphone age. Jordana, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jordana's essay was chosen from nearly 1,800 personal stories submitted by students at more than 400 colleges and universities nationwide. And we're putting this question to you. How do you think modern dating has changed over the course of your own lifetime? Bert writes this to us on Facebook. I'm only 30, but I'm still a bit of a traditionalist. Texting and social media make starting a normal, healthy relationship tougher than before. Dating seemed simpler in high school and in college. Well, Bert, you're actually not alone in that.
I would say the most difficult thing about modern dating is the text message element, because waiting for text message responses makes people turn positively neurotic.
This is Jessica calling from Brooklyn. In fifth grade, so 1988, three boys asked two of my friends and me to go with them via a handwritten note that was passed to us in art class. 15 years later, I was online dating like it was my job, once racked up 3 dates in the same day. Then in 2004, a guy I'd met on JDate introduced me to my now husband, who was a friend of his from college. So old school and new technologies collide.
Now, Jessica, that's awesome. I think that would make you what they call a new traditionalist. From Denver, Colorado, we got this slightly racy text. In my day, we had to meet girls in bars, none of this fancy computer stuff. Then we had to walk 2 miles uphill each way to get stoned and have sex. These kids, they have it too damned easy. Oh, man. From Austin, Texas, I think that millennials are largely more interested in dating than love. That's not to say they can't love or don't, but the value is more in companionship than in love, as understood by my parents. And the question should be how sex has changed. It's much different than the sex our parents were having. We always want to hear from you. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can tweet us at The Takeaway.